Hello and welcome to episode 18 of XR Connections. XR Connections is a podcast about extended reality, augmented reality, AR, virtual reality, VR, mixed reality, MR, extended reality, XR. Today's guest is Steve Grubbs of Victory XR, an educational XR company. They just had a launch just recently. I got to take a tour of their educational environment and see some of their curriculum. Steve is an entrepreneur. He's built up this team and this company, Victory XR, to allow classrooms, students to be able to experience VR. Our education. It's a great discussion. We talk about some of our favorite VR educational experiences. He talks about the challenges of putting this platform together. We talk about the Engage platform and about the future of VR education. So here he is, Steve Grubbs of Victory XR.
Hello, welcome, Steve Grubbs. Steve Grubbs from Victory XR. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
Glad to be here, Liam. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I saw Steve give a presentation for the launch of Victory XR Academy. Victory XR Academy is providing a curriculum in VR, AR, XR. Steve, thank you so much for joining us. How did the launch go? Tell us about the response and a little bit about what you're doing.
Yeah, so the launch went extremely well. Now, you might expect me to say that since I'm the founder, but how often does a... We actually did four showings the very first day, and they went off with almost no glitches, and people were blown away. And so it went well. We've gained a lot of attention, had some really nice news articles. Pico was our partner in the public relations piece of it. And you know, they're announcing their new Neo 2, which is a great headset for this sort of thing. So yeah, just it went well and people are responding.
Now, Steve, you actually held the launch in virtual reality. Tell us a little bit about the environment there. You were going through Engage and how Victory XR fits in Engage. Give us a little background about the platform and how it all works.
Sure. So if you think of your phone, you either have an Android or an iPhone. So you've got the Android platform or the iOS platform, and lots of developers build on those platforms. Engage is a platform for collaborative virtual reality. And so we are, in some ways, the first developer to create an app, a publicly available app on top of that platform. And so ours will be a campus, an academy that schools, universities can essentially lease and have their students gather in this academy, and they can have their own instructors instruct live. And this is, you know, I think probably most of your listeners are sophisticated enough to understand this already. But if somebody that is listening and they're somewhat new to VR, the transition right now from what we would call an individual simulator experience in virtual reality to collaborative group experiences in virtual reality is not a small one. Mm. It's a huge revolutionary step that changes everything. So the two big things that have happened over the last 12 months is A, we have gone, we have with the advent of the Oculus Quest, the Vive Focus Pro, and now the Pico Neo 2, you've gone from requiring tethered, expensive computer systems for virtual reality to a relatively inexpensive between $400 and $800 US for a headset. So suddenly, from a hardware standpoint, friction point largely removed. And now we've gone to this next step where we have collaborative VR, where you and I and our instructor, you know, the best instructor in the world, can be inside teaching people together. And this changes everything. And we're going to begin seeing faster adoption because of these two changes.
Yes. Now, Steve, when you gave the demonstration, we were brought into a room that was designed like a science lab. We were all given models of the human heart that we could manipulate in size so that at one point you could actually walk into this 3D model of the heart. At the same time, you have an instructor telling you what you are seeing.
Yes.
I thought that was incredible. Tell us a little bit more about those kind of experiences that students are going to be able to experience and that the instructors or the teachers are going to be able to build. What kind of tools do they have to put together a lesson like that?
Yeah, let me cover four real quick and I'll cover them quickly. So first of all, the bigger issue is, what is the use case for virtual reality that you can't do in a standard classroom or in the real world? And so, you know, it's not enough to just use collaborative VR to meet. I mean, it's great that you overcome geography and everybody get together. That has value. But we have to find use cases that go beyond that. And so here are four use cases just in our first pass that we offered to people. One, anatomy. You're in there. Wendy Martin, 20-year veteran of the science classroom, reaches her hand down into a human cadaver. She pulls the heart out. Almost movie Hollywood style. And then she hands it to someone in the class. And then she grabs others out of thin air. And so that everybody has a human heart. Well, that's great. You can hold it in your hand. You can look at it. She tells you about it. But now we're going to suggest expand it so that it's 8 foot tall and step inside it and stand inside a human heart and look around as she's telling you about the ventricles and the cavities and all that type of thing. What an amazing way to learn that you clearly can't do in the real world. Then Professor LaPointe, University of Alberta, he teaches molecular biology. And so he pulled out a protein with a tiny little atom inside, a tiny little molecule inside. And he makes the point that it's very difficult to teach molecular biology in a 2D world. Students struggle to grasp this understanding. And so what he has suggested is that in this world, being able to hand out these 3D models that people can look inside, they can walk through, they can hold in their hand, it allows students to gain a dramatically greater understanding of molecular biology. And in a world where we need more science, that matters. Third, and this is the part I love, you know, it's almost like going to Disney World just by popping on your headset. We took people to the astronomy center, and we first went into the planetarium. They can look up. We show them various constellations, et cetera. But in a virtual reality world, you don't have to stop there. And you know, I grew up, and I was a Captain Kirk, Spock, Star Trek fan. And I just always thought, man, I would love to hop in a transporter and beam down or beam up or whatever the case might be, right? And so when we were developing this, I told our coders and designers, I said, I have to have a transporter in the astronomy center. I want to beam up places. So they built a really cool transporter for me. And so now, after you look at the stars, you step in the transporter and you beam up to our Victory XR spaceship with our observation deck and you look at the nebula or the black hole or whatever the case might be. It's just so amazingly cool. I've done it 10 times. And I don't get tired of it. So, and you know, of course, when you were there, we beamed up to the moon, which was pretty cool too. Then you go to the Paleontology Center. So it's awesome. We have on loan from the Smithsonian, a woolly mammoth skeleton. Pretty cool. So you don't have to go to Washington, D.C. You can just pop on your headset, head into the Victory XR Academy, see the woolly mammoth skeleton. Awesome. But we're in virtual reality. So I told my guys, build me a time machine. So they built me this really cool time machine. Everybody goes, they stand on the time machine, the lights start whirling, things start flying up around you. Next thing you know, you're 8,000 years back in time amongst a herd of woolly mammoths. So you can go up and pet the baby woolly mammoth. And it's just a great and wonderful way to learn and understand history, ancient history. And so, you know, having the time machine that can take people into all different times in history or the transporter that can transport them around the universe. This inspires a love of learning in children, students, and I just really believe that it will so dramatically change the way people view learning that it will become commonplace in 3 to 5 years.
Oh, I am of the same opinion with you, Steve, and I will also just comment that the molecular display really was eye-opening. You can look at it in a textbook, you can see animations, but to see it in 3D, it just opened my eyes. I was like, okay, I can kind of understand that now. I can see so many applications for that.
Amazing. Yeah, it's gonna be a great class. I can't wait.
So you talked a little bit about telling your folks, give me a transporter. Tell us a little bit about how this was all developed, how long it took, who was the team that put this together?
Well, we built a world-class team in the state of Iowa. We collected people from around the world and convinced them to move to Iowa, and just amazing people. First of all, you start with one of the nation's best curriculum specialists in Renee Gadella, former classroom teacher, worked for the largest curriculum companies in the world. She leads to make sure that we're not just putting, you know, cool stuff out there. It is aligned to curriculum standards in the United States and around the world. So that's number one. Wendy Martin, national finalist, teacher of the year, 20-year veteran of the classroom, a woman in STEM. She does a fantastic job of being our hologram teacher and our avatar teacher for science. And then Danny Coyle, the Ohio State University. He's our lead technologist. He leads the effort. He's like a child when he's in there. He just loves it. He has a childlike imagination in the mind of a brilliant technologist. And then our lead designer who does the interior design and 3D object creation is a guy named Aaron Hagens from the Dave School in Orlando. And if people aren't familiar with the Dave School, it's probably the finest 3D object creation school in the country. They provide animators for Universal Studios and others down there in Orlando. And so it's a brilliant school. And so we were very, very fortunate to land Aaron. And so this really world-class team has built something that is extremely special.
So you've had the launch. I saw that you won an award from HTC. Is that right?
That's right. Last year, when I was back with some of my college buddies having a beer on a rooftop, one of my buddies was now a superintendent of schools. And he said, you know what we need? We need frog dissection, animal dissection in virtual reality.
And so it just, true.
Well, that's perfect. Yeah, we could do that. So we work with Carolina Biological. They've got the best curriculum in the world for this sort of thing. And we created a frog dissection in 8 weeks, put it in the marketplace, and Vive, HTC has their Viveport Awards, which award the best experiences in the world. And so we were fortunate enough that they gave us the best VR education experience in the world. And so, you know, that sort of lent some credibility to, you know, I told my investors, you know, we're making progress and we're doing good things. And someday, you know, the whole world will be using the products that you helped us take to market.
Yeah, so true. And good starting with the frog dissection. Nobody wants to dissect a frog. And now you can dissect a T-Rex someday.
Exactly.
So, Steve, you launched, you've got this great curriculum, you've got great people working with you to build the curriculum. How does it work for a teacher? Or a student hears this, a teacher, a school district, somebody that's teaching at home.
Yeah.
How do you get set up with this? Who do you call? How much does it cost? What do I need?
So first of all, victoryxr.com. Easy as that, victoryxr.com. Come see us and explore around our various products, augmented reality and virtual reality products, standalone simulator products, and now collaborative group learning on our campus. So for the campus, what we charge is $175 per license. So let's say that you have 300 students in your high school. And so all 300 students get an account at Victory XR Academy. But let's say that you buy 20 licenses. So that means that you could have 20 students in there at the same time. So and that's an annual fee. So if you buy 20 licenses, it's going to be $3,500. So, you know, it's not nothing. But if you stop and think, we have an entire microbiology lab, a STEM lab. Some schools go out and buy, build an entire STEM lab in their school or an addition. And it costs, if not millions of dollars, at the very least hundreds of thousands of dollars to build these STEM labs. You know, with us, you buy 20 headsets that are going to cost you, you know, $8,000 to $10,000. Now you have a cart, you know, maybe a little more depending on which headset you buy. And then you spend your $3,500 a year to get your 20 licenses. And you can take, you know, that cart can wheel around from class to class. And suddenly for really not very much money, you have access for all of your students to the world's most amazing campus and really inspiring a love of learning. You know, our hope is that they will love it so much that they buy additional headsets, additional licenses, and really drive that love of learning.
And this is meant as a group experience, the teachers and the students in headsets together.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The way we set it up, a student could join a class that we are offering, mm-hmm. or that same student could, the teacher could lead a class. So let's say that you have a science teacher and that science teacher wants to teach anatomy or chemistry or whatever the case might be. In those cases, they just simply once a week or twice a week or whatever they want to do, they schedule themselves into, they go to our website, they shop for the lesson plan of their choice. So I need an anatomy lesson plan. They type in the search keyword anatomy and they find it. And then they look through it. It says, okay, you want these 3D objects. You want this virtual field trip. Here's the sequencing of the class. Here are the standards that it's going to connect to, the NGSS standards. And here's a 2D video you might want to include as well. So it completely lays out how a teacher could run the class. Now, they don't have to follow our guideline, but it's a great lesson plan and it's a great opportunity to move forward and to figure out, you know, it's one thing to teach in an atom-based classroom, but it's another thing to teach in a virtual reality classroom. And so we know that those lesson plans are going to be really important and necessary.
What's the learning curve for teachers to get comfortable in the headset and using the controls and pulling things up and down? And do you provide training or onboarding?
Yeah. We provide professional development. And what Wendy Martin would tell you, and she did not fancy herself a technology expert in any way, science expert, yes, technology not. She would tell you that it took her about 4 hours to become completely comfortable moving around and teaching in VR. Mm-hmm. And she's really good at it. So, you know, a half day and suddenly you are competent. And then another half day and you're an expert.
I think that's about right based on my experience. I got the Quest, Steve, earlier this spring. And yeah, you spend about 2 hours cursing and saying what, why, how come, what am I doing? And then another 2 hours and you're all set. You're going. You're off to the races.
Well, here's the big change that we're lobbying for. We need Facebook to add Engage to their list of programs. You don't have to sideload it through SideQuest. And I, you know, everybody I talk to suggests that, you know, they're favorable to the idea. So with any luck, we'll get that change at Facebook and people can just download it and get the updates very quickly and easily.
Yeah, that would be excellent. Just so people are aware, the Quest is owned by Facebook and the Quest is a typical walled garden approach in that there's apps that they supply in their store. And if it's not in that store, then you have to go through a bit of a rigmarole to get your app accessed on the Quest, a process called sideloading, which is basically entering into a developer mode on your headset and then loading the app onto the headset. It's a pain in the neck, but the Quest is so cheap and so used by so many people now that it's really a shame that some very good apps are not in the App Store.
Yeah. Now, the other good news, though, is the Vive Pro the Vive Focus Pro and the Neo Pico Neo 2, both have it in their store.
That's great. And
that if you get those two headsets, that'll make it a lot easier as well. So, you know, with any luck, all three headsets will have it, but Vive and Pico both have wonderful headsets that do the same thing, just touch more expensive.
I should know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask. So if I have Engage, can I access Victory XR, even some kind of a demo, or can I find you in there?
Or do you know what? We are loading a demo. We think it's going to be there this week, a public demo.
Oh, good.
And so you should be able to, by the time your podcast is being heard, people should be able to get a free public demo and tour and walkthrough.
Fantastic. Steve, how did you get involved in all this VR, XR?
You know, about 4 years ago, the New York Times did some free VR where they shipped out a Google Cardboard to everybody that was a New York Times subscriber. And I think they made like 10 VR experiences. And so, I mean, basically they were 360 videos, but they were cool. And I popped my phone in, I tried it, and I tried a VRSE experience with a roller coaster. And, you know, it wasn't great, but it was good. And I saw the potential. I've always been an entrepreneur. My preference is to get in early with technology, bleeding edge, and then stick it out until it becomes mainstream. I started building websites in 1997.
You and I are the old school. Yeah.
I went to Best Buy and I bought a book, Websites for Dummies. So I had a law degree and a business degree. I didn't have a coding degree. So Websites for Dummies, I read it over a weekend. And on Monday, I announced I was a web developer to the world. And the collective response was, what's a web?
Oh, I remember. I was working with Bell Atlantic and I was a manager on a video project, interactive TV. I'm going to keep this short. And the engineers, I used to work with the engineers all the time. And they're looking at a website and I'm like, wow, that's cool. And I say, how do they do that? And it's like, oh, it's HTML. And it's like, oh, it's coding. And he's like, you could do this. He hands me an HTML book in the same story. Over the weekend, I made a website. I'm a web producer.
Right. That's right. And you know what? I would just tell people, I would say, listen, just trust me. Give me this amount of money and I'll get you a website. And it's going to be a big deal in 2 years. And you know what? I was right. It was a big deal. And we sold a lot of websites.
So you got the Google Cardboard. You got into VR. You're an entrepreneur. When did you first put on a headset? What was the first one you bought?
Oculus Rift, as soon as it came out in 2016, so summer of 2016, and then had to buy a camera so we could start producing stuff. So we got a crazy camera with like 9 cameras all stuck together, and then you had to sew all the videos together, but it worked. And I had to figure out how to do it all, so I called a group of friends who were interested. We all met in Dallas, traded information, part of my YPO business group. And then by January of 2017, we had our first experience, and we were in our first school.
That's great. Great story, Steve. What's next for Victory XR? And following on that, how are you keeping up with what's going on? What's exciting to you? Like coming down the road next 6 months?
Sure.
And how do people get in touch with you and find out more about getting involved with Victory XR in their school?
Well, first of all, anybody can email me, steve@victoryxr.com. So I'm fairly accessible. Second, we also have a second sister company called ChalkBytes, which is corporate training in virtual reality. And we're actually rolling that out today to some insurance companies to take a look at it. And you know, we have a firefighter who teaches defibrillator training, fire safety. We have we teach fork truck safety and driving. We have human resources training, scenario training. So if you think about it, you know, hiring, providing reviews, firing, these are very difficult things for people that very few people do well. So if you can have some scenario training, That can be done in collaborative VR in our Chalkbytes Corporate Training Center. So that, and with Victory XR, we are planning to roll out our theater, our performing arts center, I guess I should call it. And it'll be part traditional performing arts center, and then part it'll have some cool stuff in it. And so classes, drama classes that may not be in the same place, they can come together and they can put on plays. And then the cinema students at university level can shoot that play from different angles. So you record it, you replay it, and then the cinema students are there with their camera shooting it and recording it. So that is part of what we're doing as well. And then we have a math center and a few other cool places. So, and mostly it's, we're going to build out the classrooms, but we have to build out the experiences. We're getting out the curriculum development website within the next week. And then we have to create more historical trips for people to take and so much more. But there's a lot for us to do. We're trying to get our first class launched in the next 3 weeks so that people can sign up and take a class from Wendy Martin.
Steve, so you're creating all this content. Are you looking to work with creators? Can people pitch you content? Are you doing it all in-house, or you got calls for submissions?
Yeah.
How's that working?
So first of all, start with curriculum creators. We will have a curriculum creation website for people who are either masterclass creators, meaning they don't have a degree, but they're a master in what they do, and they want to write curriculum. Mm-hmm. And then the second is for educators who can write curriculum and have a certain amount of experience with it. So we have those two opportunities. Now, we're a startup. Money is always tight. And so what we offer people is they own their content, they own their curriculum, they'll provide it on our platform for 2 years. And then we haven't figured out the compensation yet. We've got to figure out parts of this model still. But there will be compensation for the curriculum that they create. And then they own their curriculum. And if they, after 2 years, if they say, well, I don't want it to be on this platform anymore, they can remove it. So hopefully we have a good enough relationship and we make it worth their time and while, so they leave it on there. So that's the curriculum side. On the content creation side, we haven't figured that out yet because, again, we can't afford yet to purchase content from people. If we're successful in our investment fundraising this year, we likely will be able to, and then we'll begin asking people for more of that type of content. So just keep an eye on our progress. And if you're not connected with me on LinkedIn, please do. And I make those sorts of announcements regularly and try to keep people updated as to what we're doing.
I know that you are active on LinkedIn. That's where we met, and I know I've said this to you previously, but one of my previous guests, Kai Liang from Mel Science, had talked about Victory and XR and what you guys are doing, so that's why you guys were on my radar. So that leads me to, Steve, what are you doing to network? What conferences do you go to? Are there meetups locally that you go to? Are there any webinars you're attending, et cetera, that you can recommend to people that you think are associations that you follow?
I will be involved with a presentation at EduLearn, which I would say is in Spain, but I guess it's everywhere now. Right. We typically go to ISTE, which of course is the big technology education conference. We go to BET in London, we go to AWE. Those are probably the big ones that we attend. And then, we don't have an unlimited budget. So frequently we will travel as a guest of Microsoft or some of the other tech companies, and they will include us in their booths. And so we send our folks there. But for networking, for me, I primarily use Facebook and LinkedIn.
I'm going to put you on the spot, Steve. I know you have fantastic curriculum and experiences at Victory XR. Excluding Victory XR, what is the most impressive VR educational experience you've seen?
Well, probably, some of the work that Labster is doing is impressive. The Anne Frank House on Oculus is meaningful. So, you know, those are a couple that I could suggest.
And I will chip in myself. I've seen a lot of this stuff. But one that really had an impact on me is that Lancaster flight from England to Berlin on the bombing mission with the original audio from the BBC reporter who was in the plane. That was...
I've not seen that. Is that in the Quest store?
It's one of the free things on Engage. So listeners, this experience, it only takes about 8 minutes, but a BBC reporter and his colleague who was recording this are in the Lancaster bomber, and they follow them on this 8-hour trip, and it is harrowing.
Wow.
Really amazing experience, because you only have the perspective of being in the air, sitting right behind the pilots.
Wow. Yeah, I will definitely do that. I am a huge World War II buff.
Yes.
Memphis Belle is one of my favorite movies.
And yes, if you see this, you have any interest in that type of history, airplanes, I'll watch anything about the RAF. This was eye-opening.
Well, I thank you for bringing that to my attention.
It's been great speaking with you, Steve. I'm trying to see if there's anything we need to follow up with. Yeah, tell us, how has COVID-19 affected your business and your clients?
Yeah, so, you know, some businesses benefited from the whole coronavirus, and most did not. In the world of virtual reality meetings and education, it's one of those that has received a lot more attention and focus from universities because of just the new reality and the potential for this sort of thing happening again. And it's also opened the eyes to a lot of people that, look, you really can do remote meetings, remote learning, but a webinar, a Zoom, it's just not enough. It's, in fact, kids sort of hate sitting there in front of the screen all day. So what we have has been recognized as just a perfectly clear answer to the problem of boredom and from kids staring at a screen. And so we're just so excited to, and you know, I don't want to say we're thankful for the coronavirus pandemic, because we're certainly not, but we are thankful that, you know, from lemons came lemonade. And we value that.
Well, best of luck to you, Steve, and to Victory XR. We'll be following up. We're going to have all of this, all of companies mentioned in the show notes and the technologies. So best of luck to you, Steve, and thank you for joining us here on XR Connections.
Thank you, Liam.
Thank you for listening to this episode of XR Connections. You can find more information on the people, the technologies, and the companies that were mentioned in the show notes. You can find those at marsandmercury.com. Please do reach out to me. I would love to connect. If you have an idea for an episode, please let me know. You can find me on LinkedIn or through the website marsandmercury.com. We recorded this episode via Zoom for the conversation. We use Logic Pro 10 as the sound recording software, use a Focusrite interface, and a Scarlett microphone. The music is by Dr. Mars. Thanks again for listening, and please do get in touch. Thank you.